Okay.
Let me have a look, yeah, and then I will.
We move on to the conceptual framework. And Françoise, you will introduce the effect paper. Yes, please.
Thank you, Hans. And we've developed this filter on complexity as part of our work in the conceptual framework project with the standard setters. So it's really one of those joint filters that we're issuing together. And if we have decided to add complexity in the series of this work...
Can you speak up a little bit, François?
I will try to be nearer.
I don't think that helps very much.
So if we have decided to add complexity to the series of the subject we would tackle, it's really because complexity in financial reporting and also in IFRS financial reporting is a kind of rising concern. A certain number of reports have echoed this concern, not only in Europe, but also in the US and Australia. So it is one concern in modern financial reporting. And basically, this complexity arises at two levels. One, which is probably one of the most concerning, is the fact that IFRS financial statements are not necessarily considered as being simple enough, understandable enough to be an effective tool for financial communication. And indeed, that's certainly a main concern. But also the fact that the standards would themselves be difficult to apply and eventually difficult to enforce is also an area of complexity. So we move to slide three, and there we refer, in fact, to the present report to the SEC that was dated 2008. And that distinguishes between what is called unavoidable complexity. Basically, modern business means a more complex business transaction. And as a result, I mean, if you reflect more complex reality, certainly some complexity creeps in. But also pointed out to avoidable complexity and something that is to be remedied by improved, in fact, standard setting, education, presentation. To eliminate that complexity. Moving to the next slide, in fact, reflects that in this beta we have outlined that the conceptual framework to date in discussing understandability, more particularly, already calls for the right balance to be struck between the needs of users for relevant information on the more complex business transactions, but that this balance should be struck with, in fact, getting to keeping the financial reporting as simple as feasible. So there is this concern there that it should not be too complex. Nevertheless, when it comes to ability, as I said, this level of complexity doesn't seem to have been kept or achieved at an appropriate level. So if we look at what people say about avoidable complexity, basically some people say a certain number of concepts, a certain trend in conceptual development may explain some of them, and also some decisions which are made at standard level are pointed out as being a source of avoidable complexity. So if we move to the next slide, there we outline the main conceptual trends that have been cited as being sources of avoidable complexity. First one some people say is the fact that when standard setters have focused on the financials, on the statement of financial position, and in a way only, or in a too prominent way, then in fact it has had the consequence of blurring, in fact, performance reporting. Another reason which is put forward is the fact that the specified group of users is so broad, so that standard setters have, in fact, to satisfy a number of different and eventually conflicting needs that may lead to avoidable complexity. And another one is, in fact, the one that we have pointed out ourselves from a different perspective, which is, in fact, the removal of reliability, in fact, letting greater measurement uncertainty creeping in elements which are recognized, so that, in fact, the relevant information relies on very detailed and potentially complex disclosures. So moving to identify potential sources of avoidable complexity at standard level, some people will invoke the fact that some new concepts have been introduced without necessarily being accompanied by enough guidance or maybe enough education or maybe enough debate before they were introduced. That would be, for example, the case for fair value measurement when it was spread, or the right of use model, the right of use concept more particularly being introduced. Then you have the issue of the detailed requirements which will be developed at standard level and that are not necessarily completely linked to overarching principles, and maybe tomorrow we will have the possibility of seeing how avoidable complexity creeps in from narrow scope amendments that the ISB undertakes. And things that you hear repeatedly, in fact, the difficulty in reading standards, or the continuous changes that make the basis for financial statements evolve continuously, and that when everybody called for a period of calm has clearly also shown that this concern was widespread. But there are also, and if we move to the next slide, decisions made in terms of requirements themselves that create avoidable complexity. Some things that people would qualify as arbitrary classification, anti-abuse measures, or a departure from what people see as being the economic substance of the transaction. And we have in the paper taking examples of eventually past standards or close to being old standards, like the ISO 39 edge requirements, or the past treatment of actual gains and losses in IS 19. But frankly, when we raise these issues of arbitrary classification, anti-abuse measures, and moving away from the perceived economic substance, basically those issues have been raised in responses to the LISIS project, I would point out. Other aspects, when to serve a principle-based set of standards, there is a tendency to go for one approach fits all. And for example, on revenue recognition, when whatever is delivered to the customer has to be a revenue generating activity, or it's in a way the opposite, exceptions to principles are made. The example that we took is I-32, and that will also be discussed, I'm sure, when we discuss the way to equity liability distinction tomorrow. And finally, what we pointed out at conceptual level, when the recognition of two subjective estimates creeping also, that's identified by people as being sources of avoidable complexity. When these decisions made at standard level come in, it's not because standard setters necessarily want complex standard. Of course, complexity wants to be avoided, but certainly comes also from a lack of trust of standard setters and maybe enforcers in preparers. Also, a lack of consensus in what is the economic substance of transactions. But so it's not only a question, it's a bit like in the materiality debate. It's not only the standard setting process which is pointed at, but of course it plays a role. So I've run very quickly through the presentation of this bulletin, just to say that in terms of tentative views, we all agree that certainly you should not go for a simplification just for the sake of being simple. Certainly complex transactions have to be reflected in a relevant manner. However, some of us will think that if the guidance in the conceptual framework about relevance and understandability, the cost constraints, are not effective enough, maybe there is room for having supplementary guidance at that level in order to help the standard setting strike a better balance between understandability and relevance. And others, out of our discussion last week with the consultative firm of standard setters, showed that Germany was no longer completely isolated. Some believe that what is in the conceptual framework is just enough. So there is debate in Europe, and I hope there will be debate around this table. Thank you.
Thank you, Françoise. Who would like to comment? We go.
Françoise, no. It's easier to criticize. Hard to balance. I have three questions. First, if we want to solve this one from a conceptual level, we already have a few concepts used for many years, as I understand, to tackle this issue. Cost, benefit constraints, and understandability, materiality. And we already have all these, you know, big name concepts. And if we want to discuss in the at conceptual level, you know, how can we discuss concept complexity issue? And under what concept? Do we want to put a separate one, you know, I'm not sure, or under some concept? My second question is, paragraph on the slide 6, the first clause is a focus on stable financial position, makes things complex. I can also feel the other way around, like the issue we just discussed about unlock. And it appears most of us support unlock the risk adjustment, also the reverse the previous recognized loss. And I would feel it makes things much more complicated. And I also feel that discussion mainly focus on the performance rather than the statement of financial position. And so my question to you is why you said the complex mainly come from focus on the statement of financial position. And my third question is related to slide 8. It seems, you know, contradictory from my understanding. You know, first you said arbitrary classification, and then the third and fourth points are departure from the underlying economics of the transaction, and one approach fits all. Take OCI as a category financial instruments, and you know, still our board member will say, you know, introduce that category will increase arbitrary classification, because hard to make judgment between the this and another category. And but if we want to look at the third and the fourth point, you will say, you know, looks like, you know, the principle base or one size fits all not suitable. But if you will put too many classifications, too many class, then you also feel, you know, it is arbitrary. How to balance? Your two questions.
Okay, I'm going to try, and I hope I'm not alone to raise some responses. First of all, the first point you made, which is it is easy to criticize, and I agree with you, and probably it's the reason why I have the job I have. And you have the job you have. But more seriously about the various issues, Yes, the conceptual framework discusses appropriately understandability, relevance, and as one of the slides has shown, and as is shown in the bulletin, it seems that the developments are there so that avoidable complexity would not creep in. But it's a fact that it does. So maybe in the standard setting process, and it seems, I mean, throughout the years and more recently, that there has been an increased attention put by the ISB on ensuring that the cost-benefit trade-off would be better met. So from that perspective, that has come into scrutiny more than it was in the past. However, I'm not sure that there is enough in the practice of standard setting at this stage step back at the point in time when some requirements seem to be identified as a possible solution, to see how these requirements fit in the global picture that financial statements ultimately will depict. So maybe there is an approach of looking at things individually. I have this problem to solve. I have this possible solution. Or it fits this problem well. I look at the cost-benefit on this isolated issue. But maybe I have not seen whether the whole picture that is going to be ultimately produced for users in the financial statement is considered. So maybe it's not developing a supplementary qualitative characteristic. It's not developing anything like that. It's more at in your standard setting process how you ensure an ultimate maybe control of the overall understandability of the financial statements in aggregate. You cite, and I understand perfectly what you're pointing at, that when you try to accommodate both the financial, the statement of financial position and the income statement, you may get to solutions that are more complex than just considering that changes in assets and liabilities will flow into the income statement directly. But I think the criticism that was made by those people who made it is the fact that this trend that has been there for some time has left unattended the income statement, and the income statement being unattended, people fail to be able to read and understand easily the basic performance of the entity. And in fact, some of the subjects that we're going to tackle during this meeting will basically address this issue. And then you cite, well, the introduction of the third category in IFRS 9 can lead some people to say here there is that arbitrary classification and that would be avoidable complexity. You know that from FROG you received recommendations that the business model and the characteristic of the instrument test would remain the basic principles in the standard but be applied in a more consistent manner. So I could agree with you that the last deliberations do not necessarily avoid all avoidable complexity, and maybe a possible different outcome would have been possible.
I see a lot of people want to speak. Also, it's a timetable, so I ask everybody to be sure. Easily, we could spend 3 hours on the paper, with a long list of things that people don't like about IFRS. So, Russ.
So I think complexity is a very important issue, and I've been involved in a number of years. I was a senior advisor on the POSIN committee, and a lot of the discussion you have about avoidable and unavoidable complexity, I agree with. I think the things you have in slides 7, 8, and 9 are very important. I think the key thing is what's in slide 9, that it is therefore not only an issue for standard setters. For example, when you talk about detailed requirements, difficult to reconcile overarching principles, I think stakeholders need to not ask us unless they really need it. I think the standard setter needs to really judge if it's necessary. But more importantly, if the standard setter concludes it's not necessary, it's not good for the system that others fulfill that need. At the FASB, we chose not to put some of the things you're talking about within the conceptual framework, and rather create a policy at the FASB that the board members would discuss the trade-off between avoidable and unavoidable complexity and increasing or decreasing complexity in relation to cost and benefits. We did that when the board members voted to finalize revenue recognition. The staff brought to us all of the input that they had obtained jointly throughout the project, and the board members discussed a trade-off. I felt that was important, one, so we can educate our stakeholders on the board members' views about how we perhaps sometimes increase complexity because we think that it is unavoidable and that the underlying transaction is very difficult, how we were reducing complexity. I think the most important thing to help reduce complexity is two things. One is improving the conceptual framework, which I know is on the ISB's agenda, and then following the conceptual framework. And then secondly, doing, in essence, a look back. At the FASB, we've allocated resources to do a look back on those standards that we think are too difficult, and that simplification can be made without changing decision useful information. The thought is create the foundation looking forward and make improvements looking backward.
Equal.
Thank you. In general, we think that the existing conceptual framework addresses the discussion about the complexity appropriately. However, we believe that there are areas where the descriptions about the qualitative characteristics in the conceptual framework can be improved with minor change. For example, QC36 or something. Preparers and auditors are now saying that recent accounting standards have become difficult to read or understand, which is a complexity about accounting standards rather than the complexity of financial information. So during the past experience, we recommend to develop a protocol or a document outside the conceptual framework. In there, for example, which includes accounting requirements try to prevent particular outcomes, maybe the source of complexity, such as the tainting rule or something like that. So. Sentences, documents don't have to be a long one, the short one is enough. Thank you.
Kevin?
Pretty much agree with what Russ and Akio were saying. The Financial Reporting Council in Australia tackled this same issue, but it was interesting in the way they tackled it. Not having the right to get involved in technical issues, they chose to define the scope of their project in terms of managing complexity, how to manage away the complexity to the extent that you can do that. And it became very clear in that form of analysis that there are a lot of behavioural problems that are self-inflicted problems among preparers. Rote reproduction of specimen sets of accounts from accounting firms, use of accounting policy notes that go on forever and tell you nothing, lots of those sorts of things. And the word we're getting from preparers is it's easier to put that stuff in than to take it out. You really need to spend some time if you're going to be sensible in what it is you include. And rather than spend that time, put everything in, save yourself from any regulatory or audit risk and proceed. So that behavioural problem needs to be dealt with, and we're trying to get the message out there that you know you can reduce that complexity and it's open to you. Some of it gets down to materiality because people don't have a very clear view of materiality. So again, on that topic, we've tried to provide some guidance in recent times about what it does and doesn't mean. Some people believe that regulators have a different view of materiality than the regulators actually have. So we've worked together with the regulators to get each of the parties to make statements that were consistent with one another, and then to go to the marketplace and say, you know, you're working off a perception that isn't valid. One element that came through was the literacy of directors, and there was some research done into the literacy of directors, how literate they thought they were, and how literate the people around them thought they were. Interestingly, different answers.
It may not apply in the rest of the world.
It's interesting, you know, the difference in opinions was there, but even the directors themselves didn't think that they were especially literate. And it's a critical issue for global standard setting, because you're going to have a much more diverse audience. There were thoughts about technology and trying to get away from a mindset that the financial report is a book. Think about things a bit more adventurously, with perhaps standing data available and the like. Forgive me if I keep pushing back to my paper on generic characteristics of entities. I think there is a gap in the framework, and if you could come to a view about the generic characteristics of entity, you could rationalise and consolidate a lot of the requirements that you have. And I think that it's the absence of a disclosure framework that feeds this notion of complexity almost more than anything else. A caution I'd express to EFRAG is I think the cause of needing to deal with complexity is very valid, and I agree with the comments about the various slides subject to what Weiguo raised, which I also agree with. We should not keep adding logs to that fire that are more to do with disagreements or controversy in accounting. That's not complexity. You will always have difficult issues to resolve, and disagreeing with an accounting approach doesn't equal complexity in my mind. I think that was about it.
Okay. Roger.
Well, I agree strongly with Francois' presentation. Of course, complexity means different things to different people, so it's another of these generally emotive words. I think if we just focus, though, on, I suppose, complexity arising out of the standard setting process, and I agree that it's easy to criticise, but I think the people around this table are only trying to be helpful, if you like. So this is not criticism, as perhaps you often get it. One of the problems about the current standard setting process is the amount of time it takes to get standards out of the door. I think everyone would like to help the ISB to actually make this process faster. And if we look at two major standards we've talked about insurance this morning, we're going to talk about leases later. In both of those cases, complexity is one of the big issues which people are now having to revisit. So the real question is, how does the ISB engineer avoidable complexity or unnecessary complexity out of the process at an earlier stage? It's quite a narrow issue, this. And perhaps the conceptual framework is not the only place to look. It's more of a due process look. But I do feel there has to be some way of taking a look at something earlier and saying, we've got so much complexity in here, we're bound to get a pushback. Because if you do that, you're going to lose another year in the process.
Well, the interesting thing is that a lot of the complexity arises out of the due process. Yeah. Leases, we started out with a very simple model, and then we introduced to acquiesce in a lot of criticism with a dual model. Now everybody's telling it's too complex.
Yeah, yeah.
Insurance, we started out with a very simple model. Well, it has never been very simple. With a relatively simple model, everything through P&L, then everybody goes, no. And then so, again, with OCI, oh, complex. And so we end up unlocking everything, but it has become very complex as a result. So I think a lot of complexity is the result of people not liking the answers and us trying to squeeze in solutions through.
I mean, there is this thing called Occam's razor, which I'm going to misuse now, but I think Occam's razor says if you go for the simplest solution, and if we could perhaps keep that in mind all the way through the process.
Well, I think with leases we will go back to a simpler solution, but then we'll have to accept the consequences. Kim.
Thanks, Hans. Well, I think picking up on the point that you just made, I would add something to slide 9 around what makes standard setters include perhaps, you know, these complex things. And I think it really is, you know, in response to the constituents, you know, views on how to operationalize the standard. So I actually think in many cases it is the board being pragmatic in finding ways to operationalize it and dealing with some of the politics. I mean, you know, as you said, the discussion we had on insurance contracts. So, you know, in preparing for this meeting, it was quite interesting having gone through the, you know, the papers on insurance, leases, rate regulation, etc., and you just see all this complexity. So, yeah, I don't actually know if there really is a quick fix. And I think for me, the one thing that I did pick up on was one of the points raised.
Rate regulation, another fine example. The simple solution is not to have a standard.
There we go.
And now we have to come up with all these fantastic theories how to create these assets and liabilities.
Correct, exactly. Because I think for me, one of the interesting things was the point raised on ICD2 is that in a way, if you look at when ICD2 was first issued, it I think was relatively simple. But then, for whatever reason, it didn't meet users' requirements or preparers' requirements, etc. So I think for me, one of the questions, well, I see the question in the paper is, well, you know, should there be something in the conceptual framework on complexity? And I suppose my question back to FRAG and the other members would be, well, what is the objective of including something in the conceptual framework? Should it be a check that the ISB needs to keep on looking to say, well, is this becoming more complex? Because I think if that is the case, then if we do roll back the time when the proposals were put to the ISB to amend ICD2 to allow for all of those exceptions, should the ISB then said, well, actually, look at all the complexity we are introducing, so actually, no, there are no exceptions, and we just go back to the fundamental concept. So I think it needs to be clear as to what is the objective of putting something around complexity in the conceptual framework. What are we expecting the ISB to do with that? Should it always be the sort of check at the end of the day when the ISB is making amendments?
Stephen, no?
Well,
you're usually pretty brief, so.
If you want, yeah. Francois, in the appendix, you've got a list of examples of possible complexity that we shouldn't have. But in each case, you say some say, or it could be argued that. I just wondered whether EFRAG agrees, or are these a list of things that EFRAG thinks are unwarranted complexity? Or not?
I'm not sure that a response to that would help the debate. So, by the way, I don't have it. I think Roger emphasized the fact that the initiative there is really a constructive, spirited initiative. I don't think it's very helpful to say if people do not regard the IFRS financial statements as being an effective basis for financial communication, that's because they don't like the solution. That's because they have led us to political solutions or whatever. There may be some of it, but if you have controversy, and I hope, in fact, if we have supported so much that the conceptual framework would be revised, it was to get to an understanding of the accounting model that would help acceptability understanding. And the lack of understanding in itself is a source of perceived complexity. So I think there were, I mean, let me express my view. I think around this table so far there has been too easy dismissal of the perception. I'm not saying that the perception is necessarily well-based, but the perception is there. So I guess it's our collective duty to remedy that perception, especially if we think that it is an ill perception.
Oh, but I agree with you, Francois. But I think complexity is a is a serious issue, and if anybody has a personal interest in reducing complexity, it's myself. But the standards are often very, very complicated. All I just did was to reflect upon my short experience in standard setting, and I see a lot of complexity arising from, indeed, the political process. And I think that's also something that needs to be considered very seriously. And perhaps we should, you know, in our standard settings, sometimes, well, we obviously we want to get our standards done, and that's why you make compromises. But I think sometimes we'll have to be clear that a compromise, if it's going to go through, will lead to a lot of complexity. We are expressly addressing that issue now with insurance. We are expressly addressing the issue with leases. We have recognized that the solutions that we have brought forward have been helpful to some extent, but they lead to increased complexity. So I agree with you. It is our duty to avoid or limit it as much as possible. Anna?
Yes, thank you. Well, we agree with the concerns that are in the bulletin. We as standard setter also receive quite a few complaints, especially from preparers and also auditors, on the complexity of the standards, and especially on the constant changes and the reason of those changes. Sometimes they don't understand why a standard is changed, and on a conceptual basis, so it makes it difficult for them to apply the standard. So I think it's complexity based nowadays in those changes. From the other side, we believe that transactions are more complex nowadays, so to have easy standards would not reflect the substance of the transaction and the true and fair view of the company. And we believe that if now that the conceptual framework is being reviewed, if we have a very clear conceptual framework with robust concepts that are afterwards linked to the standards, and we have a clear way on how the standard reflects the concepts that are in the conceptual framework, it would be more easy for preparers and auditors and users to understand the standards are issued.
Alexander?
As one of the objectives of the conceptual framework is to orientate the board in the elaboration of future standards, maybe could make a more explicit mention to complexity in the cost constraint. So, I don't know if that's useful, because it's something like, say, try to avoid avoidable complexity. But of course, that's not the wording. But if it's mentioned, trying to answer the first question, if it is to be mentioned in the conceptual framework, I believe it should be included in the cost constraint.
Thank you. In short, I think most of the constituents welcome the opportunity to have an explicit discussion of a complexity within the conceptual framework, but it should be limited at very high level. And you know, agreeing with Russ' earlier comment about, you know, the appropriate placing of that notion in within the context, and also on the one of the members actually suggested that maybe one of the appropriate place to park it would be at the cost constraint on useful financial information, with the 35 to 39 of the 2010 version. Basically that's it.
That's wrong.
Yeah. Thank you. First of all, I appreciate that financial and IFRIC, because we know that complexity issue is do exist, and we needed to find a way to work out to resolve the issue. So I think the report is very good. It is a very good starting point to address the issue. But I have several questions. The first is, the first question is that what's the real reason of the complexity? Because the reason, if we find the right reason, then we can find the right solution. According to discussion and my research, I think there are several reasons. Whether those complexity arising from conceptual level, or whether those issues just arising from specific standard level, or whether those issues, complexity issues, arising from behavioral reasons. And the fourth, just now Hans mentioned, whether it's only relevant to the process, due process, or our board decision-make process. If it's only relevant to the process, maybe we need to improve process, not relevant to the conceptual level. So we, I look at the examples. Maybe we should classify those complexity issues to set different reasons, and then find a solution to resolve that. If those issues only relevant to specific standard level, maybe we should revise those standards, not address at conceptual level. But maybe there are some issues relevant to conceptual level, so we need to address those issues, complex issue at conceptual level. This first question. The second question is that I would like to ask, I'm not sure that the question is that what's the relationship between the conceptual complexity issue and the all of the qualitative characteristics of the conceptual framework. I looked at the report. Currently, there are two dimensions to address the issue. One is understandability, and another is cost and benefit constraint. But my personal view is that actually it's also relevant to other qualitative characteristics, such as materiality. If we address the materiality, all of the standard setting process, maybe many complexity issues could be resolved. So whether we still need it. And maybe it's also relevant to relevance, because if we don't require, if we do know the relevant information, what is that means we should not provide irrelevant issue information to the users. So we can distinguish both issues, then complex issue can be resolved. So I think if we do want to address this issue, we should open mind and try to establish or try to research the relationship between complexity to all of the qualitative characteristics, and try to find a resolution, not only stick on cost benefit constraints or understandability. This is the second question. Final question is my personal question. I'm not sure, because once the board finalized the qualitative characteristics part of the conceptual framework, the board said you're not going to reopen the discussion or revise the conceptual framework. So whether the board are going to reopen or the discussion or revise this part of the conceptual framework. If the board are going to do that, we can move forward. If the board finally make decision, we will not go to revisit that part. Maybe we cannot, we should not discuss further. Yeah. So yeah, this is my point.
Peter, and then Françoise can answer some of the questions that were asked. Peter?
It seems complexity is not a simple subject. We would endorse, I think, a lot of the views of others around the table, and generally took the position of our German colleagues, though I think Russ's notion of a protocol is probably the way forward. We would really not want to see the existing parts of the new conceptual framework reopened. I think that would not be a helpful way forward.
François, would you like to make some closing comments?
Yes, please. To depart from my observer status.
Yeah, sure.
Einstein once made this comment that everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. And he went on to say it's very easy to make things complex, but not easy to get to the latter. piece. But I guess the observation is, you know, when we talk about complexity, we're talking about things that we want to get rid of. And I wonder whether there's some merit in having a debate about what would an accounting standard, what tests would an accounting standard have to pass in order to be able to say this is as simple as it possibly can be. It might give you different answers from just talking about the negative, which is eliminating complexity. And I think that's certainly something, you know, I would like to think about as I'm starting this role.
Bonsoir.
Well, I hope I'm not going to make any concluding remarks because...
Well, for now.
That was my message, that I think we need to work on this further. I think what you just said, in fact, to me resonates very well, because you know how attached I am to this idea of quality control of the standard setting process, and I guess some solutions reside in extending this approach to have we done as well as we could, more or less, and this is one of the aspects. We have recommended that it would be in a few lines in the conceptual framework, because basically it addresses the why, the basis for the standard setting process, but frankly, a policy on the frontispiece of the ISB would probably work as well. I mean, location is that an issue?
Well, two things I heard appealed to me. First of all, the hope that further working on the conceptual framework will create some more conceptual clarity and might contribute to reducing complexity. I really hope that we can do some. I don't think we will solve all the problems. Mixed measurements will remain. But most probably, if I look at all the comment letters, mixed measurement is a source of complexity. So I don't think we will be able to do away with all complexity. The terms that you just used in your closing comments, Françoise, of quality control, I like very much, because there I think we can make immediate progress, because we do find out too often that there is unclarity in the standards as people start working with them. So that is, to some extent, that is unavoidable, but I think a lot of this unnecessary complexity can be avoided if we succeed in improving our quality control mechanisms. So, and that is also basically what Russ, I think, contributed to the discussion. And I think that's an immediate point where we still have a lot to learn, and where we could make quick progress. To be continued.